If you love your podcasts, if you love a good comedy series, then why not check out You've Got Braille? Go to your favourite podcast provider, just search for You've Got Braille. I think I'll say that again throughout this, and you will love it, I'm sure. But we're looking a little bit behind the scenes, creating the podcast itself. And we have with us Jack Bernhard, who was one of the co-writers of the podcast. Thanks very much for joining us, Jack.
Thank you very much for having me.
When you came to get involved in this and you're working with Reese, what was it like at the very beginning?
I was sort of brought in because I work on a few sitcoms to provide the nuts and bolts of like character and the rest of it. And Reese was there to provide the jokes and the lived experience. Actually, we didn't end up meeting in person until maybe 4 months before the show came out, I think. It was all done via screens. It was all done via phone, really. And for quite a while, we both suspected the other one might be a robot. We're not. We found out midway through. Like, well, that was quite good to discover that we weren't. Neither of us were robots. It was a very fun, strange experience. Reese is lovely. He's a lovely man and is very, very funny and very naturally funny. And he's very self-deprecating. Like, the way that occasionally I would kind of say, well, obviously then Paddy could see this. And he'd go, well, no, he couldn't. No, Jack, that's not how Paddy couldn't see anything. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry, yes, I understand. We both saw it as being like a fun sitcom. It had to work as like a gag-filled, funny sitcom.
When I spoke with Reese ahead of the podcast launch, and we talked a little bit about his ideas, his lived experience as well, and getting the message across to people that although someone's blind, they still get out there, they're still in relationships, look for work, go clubbing, spill things over themselves as well.
Definitely.
You know, there's a lot of everyday life. And he kind of says, you know, I want to maybe dispel some of these myths or the stereotypes, but comedy is the way to do it. So was it a bit of a learning curve for you, this kind of topic?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've never worked with someone with visual impairment in this way. And it's kind of that thing. There was quite a lot of times where Reese sort of mentioned something that we were like, oh, that's very funny. And then we wanted to run with it in a comedy sense. And I think Reese is very good at being able to be like, well, sure, but actually that's not a lived experience. It still wanted to be true and real. As we were talking about it, I was like, is that an okay joke to make? And he's like, yeah, because it's a real thing. And I think quite a lot of shows that involve visually impaired characters, and this is something that Reese talks about quite a lot as well, and he's very good on it, they're held up as being either paragons of virtue and who are sort of saints, and the non-visually impaired characters who are kind of being awkward and weird and not knowing what to say. But actually there are quite a lot of very funny things that happened to Reese that he was able to lean on that felt actually genuine and true. It was a very fun, strange learning experience talking to Reese about what you can make fun of, and not even make fun of, but sort of like what is a real funny set of mad things that happen.
How do you distill all that experience, all those ideas into an episode or a series? Because with lived experience, there's a lot of material that you could work with. You've then got to bring in characters around that with their own different personalities, their own different experiences as well. I imagine you could end up with reams and reams of script.
Well, I think a lot of it is about structure. There are so many times we would talk to Reese and we would be starting this Zoom call and he would say, or he would send me a voice note. Reese loves to send voice notes, but they'll be like 2 minutes long. And by the end of it, he'll go, oh, sorry, this one's too long. But he will just sort of say, oh, this thing happened to me today. And oh my God, we have to make an episode out of this. So, oh my gosh, this is a great thing. And there are so many like episode ideas that we didn't get into, because actually, when it comes to sitcoms, the simplest thing often, or the most satisfying thing often, is to make sure that there is one focal moment, like one leap into a ridiculous situation. So I think a good example would be the second episode where he wants to meet up with his ex-girlfriend Eva and his sister, but because it's very loud, can't hear him. So she thinks he said Stephen and brings him over to a guy called Stephen. And then suddenly Paddy is stuck in a conversation with Stephen, but because he couldn't see that he was in a conversation with Stephen, he's kind of begun the conversation saying like, oh, hey, it's really good to meet you, it's really good to see you again, as if like they're going to have a nice long chat. And then like all this madness that comes off of it is kind of based off of Paddy's character. So I think the good news is we have a lot of material for series 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, we could keep going, really.
I could absolutely identify with a lot of the things that Paddy goes through and that. And just the bit you talked about there, you know, I've been in situations, I've been in a meeting, so or in a bar or in a club, really busy, and someone starts talking to you and you think, oh, I really want to get away from here, but there's so many people. Where on earth am I going to go? Who am I going to hit with a cane? You know, you just got to kind of suck it up and deal with it until an escape route suddenly becomes evident and you get out of it. So there's a lot to relate to there, but I'm sure, you know, for even sighted people, there's so much that they could relate to and not just learn from, but relate to as well.
We had to sort of work through it with Reese and be like, okay, how realistic is this? Or like, if you were in this situation, could you say, I'm so sorry, I thought you were someone else, goodbye? And he was like, I probably couldn't say that because, or you could, but it would take a lot of confidence to be able to sort of say like, look, there's been a misunderstanding, I don't want to talk to you, because that's quite a hard thing to do. And I realized if I was in that situation, I think I would, as a sighted person, I'd be able to sort of like go, oh, I can see someone at the bar, I'm going to go and say hi, and then just run away. As a vision impaired person, you can relate to, but also like as a sighted person, you kind of go like, okay, I can see this would be a real issue. And the escalation needs to feel real at every point. Otherwise, it will just be like, well, why did that character do that? So I think that, like, making sure those moments were like authentic was really, really important.
Is it tricky if you're asked to do a script for something and it's perhaps a topic you're not familiar with, or you think, well, I'm not really interested, but I have to do it? If I have to do interviews, you know, I've done interviews, say, on Alan, can you do this piece on this new piece of genetic engineering, these new stem cell treatments? I'm like, I know nothing about that, but there are people out there who obviously do know about it, so I have to kind of give it my all. Do you ever come across that yourself?
I usually come into these things being quite like honest about what I'm bringing to the table, and I'm fully aware that I'm not going to be able to bring a truly authentic understanding of every topic. I don't have a lived experience of this, but hopefully together we can nail down exactly what's really, well, usually in my case, what's really funny about this, and like distill it into something that's really, really funny and that we can then turn to an episode. I can't imagine talking to like extremely important and clever people, because my job is inherently very stupid, making jokes for a living. I feel like you've got it much harder. you've got to sort of be like, I do understand stem cell research. I couldn't make a comedy out of stem cell research, if that's the question.
That'd be a good topic to try.
Maybe, actually. You know what? Actually, let's do it right now. You're clearly the expert. You've had
absolutely
interviews with people.
We can get Paddy's site back. No bother at all. We can sort this. We can do this.
That's series six.
that's the big ending. The big ending.
That's the big ending.
Yeah,
oh, but
before the awards. When then you kind of sign off on the script, you know, it's done, it's dusted, and you hear it, that finished article, what's that like? Mm-hmm.
And so I got to go to these recordings and sort of be alongside the producers, Nick and Claire, and also the director, Sophie, who's very funny. And I got to have a small role in an episode. I think I say, what? So if you're listening to You've Got Braille and you hear me say, what?
You go, that's me.
That's me. I do, I point to everyone and go, that's me, guys, listen to that bit. So listening to your dialogue you've written, I think it was much weirder for Reese because he was there performing it and then also performing opposite Steve Pemberton, Alison Steadman, Martin Trenemain, like big people, and just hearing his words, our words, come out of their mouth. I think that would throw me. Someone's described it as listening to a cover of a song that you know, but in a completely new way. You give it to the actors and they take it in a completely different direction, and it's good because you're like, I never thought to say it like that before, but you're sort of like, they I didn't think those words could be said like that. That's amazing. And it's just very odd hearing like Alison Steadman say words that we've written. I mean, it's great, but it's odd, very odd.
Now, if you haven't heard You've Got Braille yet, please go to your favourite podcast provider. Look for You've Got Braille. There's four episodes there for you at the moment, and thank you for telling us all about the work that's gone into it on RNIV Connect Radio.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And thank you very much for saying that about the show. Oh, it's very kind. Yeah, what a lovely show. Thank you.